Off the Ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
.736 this morning. We are delighted to welcome Mirko Bergamasco to the show. Mirko, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Good.
Yeah, very good. You've been on with us before talking to us about playing Gaelic football. Are you still playing Gaelic football?
No, I don't still play because I left from Nantes, so I can find another team where I live now in Limoges. So no, I stopped to play. Because I love it, but I can't now.
We'll get the local Limoges GA club to sort you out. Talk to us a little bit about what you think of the current Italian team. How well are they playing at the moment?
It's a tough moment for Italy now because many people expect a lot of after the last Six Nations. And the result today is now the same of the last year. So it's difficult to understand what happened because many things change. I think they have a new defense coach, a new defense system, and it's difficult to find immediately I write to work all the detail in just one competition. So the big I think the big problem today on Italy is defense because too much defense error do the difference during the game. And when you take three, four try during the game, you have a lack of confidence and it's difficult to arrive to win the game. But I believe a lot in this group because it's a young group, and you have a lot of good players. And Italy need time, you know, need time to find the confidence that you need for win the competition or win the game or win the next game. The important things is that this result is not very good. But it's an experience. For the future. I know this group can find a solution. We need time for a right to find a solution.
Mirko, where do you think that this current Italy team ranks among all the Italian sides in the last 25 years of the Six Nations? Just how good is this Italy side?
Good question. I think this new generation, you know, of player is different from our generation because they need a lot of possibility than we had in the past. And the character that Italy in the last 25 years is we leave nothing, you know. We want to work, we want to improve, but we need support, you know. Today, I think this group have a good support of the federation, something that we don't have in the past. And we have to continue to find confidence game after game. And it's good to... When you watch this team in the field, you feel the passion for the rugby, you know, a character that we have in the last 25 years, the Italy have passion for the sport, but we search every time the confidence because all the team in the Six Nations or in the world improve. You have to improve in the same speed. And sometimes we don't have the same speed of the other. And when you find finally the confidence, we lost because other team find something more. And so we have to find the good speed for staying the same level of the other and the right to do the good result every year. So I think this is the difference of the other country.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching Paul.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
Now, we are absolutely thrilled to welcome our next guest, Sarah Healy, to the show. Sarah, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Dubai, actually, at the minute. I flew out here after the day after I raced on Sunday. And yeah, I'm training here for a week.
So it's Dubai this week and then China next week for the world world indoors. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the plan. We leave for China on Sunday, late Sunday night. So we'll be there on Monday.
And was there much crack had in the aftermath of winning a gold medal in the European indoors?
A little bit, but nothing too crazy, I guess. Because, yeah, I was flying to Dubai the next day and still have to train ahead of world indoors. But I was able to see my parents and some of my training partners and stuff and celebrate a little bit with them. So that was nice. But, yeah, I'll probably have a bit more fun when I get home to Ireland in like 2 weeks' time.
It's funny, Sarah, watching your like obvious jubilation afterwards, I was just thinking like, what a party that's going to be. And like the temptation for us to be like, oh, you'd go mad for at least a week, possibly even a month you'd died out in this. But like, that's where the discipline comes in for you. Are you tempted to like let your hair down completely and have a party immediately? Or does the muscle memory of the discipline and training kick in automatically without you having to think about it, despite this unprecedented victory?
I suppose I always knew, yeah, I was coming out to Dubai the next day. And I think the thoughts of traveling on a long flight, feeling a bit worse for wear is like, I think that's enough to put anyone off. But yeah, I think honestly as well, I just kind of wanted to see my family. I didn't really feel, yeah, the need to go too crazy. And I guess, yeah, we were all just quite used to this kind of lifestyle and getting straight back into it. But I think also the day after your race, honestly, sometimes no matter what you do, just feel like you've been on a mad night out because you've had like no sleep and you just feel awful the next day anyway.
Does it feel slightly better when you've got a gold medal nestling in your bag somewhere?
Yeah. It's easier to handle it when you're happy. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the build up to the race and how you felt, because I think it sounds like listening to you in the aftermath, you felt like you were in the hunt for a medal from basically the moment you arrived. So can you talk to us a bit about how that kind of manifested itself in advance of the race and then as the race actually happened?
This indoor season starting out in start of February, I was over in America and I raced 2 3Ks over there. So I ended up running 8:30, which was a big PB, and it's the Irish indoor national record. So that was quite like a big time for me to run. And I knew that would put me in contention for a medal at European indoors. So I was going in ranked second. I guess leading up to the competition, I definitely knew I was I would be in medal contention. And I raced, you know, a good 1500 as well. So I kind of knew that if it came down to a kick that I would probably, I'd have the tools in that kind of race as well. It was a big opportunity for me and I knew that going in, but I just didn't want to let, let that expectation kind of overwhelm me. So I was trying not to think too much about it. But yeah, I was healthy and I was in really good shape. And I think it's hard for all those things to align in the right moments. So I just wanted to make the most of it.
I talked to you about the race itself. There's like I mentioned, unprecedented, and in the first Irish woman to gold medal in this event. But also the detail of the finish itself, like it's an incredible jewel with Melissa Courtney Bryant right at the end, and it's so perfectly timed, and you just go ahead of her, like it's a perfect stride to just go over the line. And I wonder, could you talk us through that feeling? That did you know you had won right before you won, if that makes sense, just before you crossed the line? Can you talk to us about the feeling that was going through you internally as that was happening?
Yeah, I think I actually kind of felt like I felt so good towards the end of the race. Like I really did feel like I could win, even coming into the last lap. And even though it was still so tight and none of us had really made any big moves, I was still just kind of waiting for someone to do something. I just kind of felt like I had so much left. But then, yeah, I guess I really waited until the last minute. I think I came up like on Melissa's shoulder, and I think there was probably like a moment where it was, she like kind of pushed like foot back and we were like neck and neck, but then I just kind of felt myself go ahead. And I think you do just know, because yeah, watching it back, I think I even like my arms kind of go up right before the line, which is like, I was like, oh my God, that could have ended terribly. And I'm really not one who normally, I never celebrate like that. I never do that. But it just like happened in the moment. So I think you just know, like you just somehow, you just know.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.